All right, that was fun. So hopefully everybody has an outline. It should say making room for Jesus. If you notice that one song that we love to sing, I Will Make Room for You, it's such a prophetic, biblical song. I love to sing that, and it's as you sing it from your heart, it's really what you all want to do. Sometimes we don't make a lot of room for Jesus. Sometimes the worst part of not making room for Jesus when we get too religious, we get too impressed with ourselves, and when we're dependent on the Lord and we're just walking in that weakness, it's amazing how much room we make for the Lord. But the Lord doesn't want us to be weak, but when we're weak, we're actually strong, because our enemies that are around us, demonic enemies, enemies that are supernatural, are too strong for us except in our weakness and the Lord's strength. And so it's very, very smart to make room for Jesus. And we see this in we're really going to be talking about worship here and making space for the Lord. And just as we did here as we were worshiping, that whole thing is that we do with worship is making room for Jesus. It's really, really important. It's not kind of the warm-up for everything else. It is the thing that we do when we come. We make room for Him privately and corporately, and God brings special things. So think about this. You make room for Jesus, and He does the same things that we see in the Bible. And that's so important to believe. It's so important to believe that God still is a miracle-working God. He still does the things we see and we read in the Bible. What a letdown if He didn't do those same things and more. So part of our battle, especially in a secular humanist culture, is to believe that Jesus is alive and still does those things. He raised the dead, He casts out demons, and He heals the sick, and He does amazing things. Just by making room for Him, space for Him, so to speak, and worship, just as we've been doing. The worship that we do, for example, in our service, isn't just the warm-up. It's not just something we kind of do. Like I said before, it's entering into a space where the Lord is. And the Bible even says that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And there's other ways, as we're going to see through the Scriptures, how we can make room for Jesus. Another way to say it is putting Him first. But it's very profound, because when we do embrace God that way, put Him first in our life, we experience something supernatural. We experience supernatural provision and grace. And He talks back, turns out. He talks to us on all kinds of things. And most of the battle is believing that we could actually make room for Jesus and see something happen, see something different. So I want to start with Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things." That pretty well describes most of us. It's so easy to be worried and upset about so many things. And if your circumstances don't do it, the news will do it. Just watch the news for an hour or so, you know. Or all kinds of other bad news. Actually, the news is very interesting. It's important to watch the news, but the news makes money by making things fantastic, make things definitely not boring, right? So sometimes we get the wrong end of that and exaggerated, and other times it's pretty real and worrisome. But we don't need to be in the same place. Matter of fact, if we get in that place, we're going to think like the world does, we're going to act like the world does, we're going to respond like the world does, and guess what? The Bible says two things. One, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So which one do you want? I think the abundant one sounds a little better. But when we pay attention and we don't make room for the Lord and the enemy tries to come in, then he begins to do his things. And you end up worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed. So she was being nice even. She was trying to make preparations and make things perfect for Jesus. But she was missing something critical. You know, I'm here now, and really time to listen, pay attention, to make room for me. And that's why I like in our services, I like how we do that. I like to have time where we just respond a little bit. And it just seems like to me there's so much hurriedness and things going on. And to worship a long time and just spend time with the Lord is really critical. It's part of our supernatural heritage. And just learning to wait a little bit, just learning to wait on the Lord and serve Him and experience Him is just so powerful. And real critical to walking with Jesus, but also in the power of Jesus. and the power of Jesus. We here at this church, we believe God heals. We believe God delivers. We believe he does miracles. But the funny thing about it is you can believe that in your mind and but not make any room for him. He takes time sometimes. Sometimes even healing takes time. It goes in a process. And sometimes it just happens right like that. But so Martha's having trouble. She's worried and upset. She wants to set things and make it good for Jesus. Good motive. But then he says this to her. A few things are needed. Only really one's needed. And of course, that was him, making room for him. That's the only thing that's really needed, making spaces for him. Well, it's in a place like this or privately, you know, in your Bible readings. You don't have to have a devotions. You get to. You're just making room for the Lord. And whenever people made room for the Lord, one thing that's really painful is if your understanding of Jesus just only goes that deep, who wants to make room for that? But if Jesus is like here in the Bible, he's healing people, casting out demons, we pray to him and he's providing, give us this day our daily bread, all that. If he's real, then boy, I think it's really worth making room. But in a culture like ours, where everything's so busy, everything's so troubled, everything's moving all the time, you know, sometimes it's very hard to make room for Jesus, but wow, isn't that very D-U-M-B? That spells dumb, in case you know. Very, very dumb. Because he can give you everything and wants to. That's the thing. Sometimes we think, well, he just doesn't want to. Oh, he died and shed blood for you. You don't think he wants you? By his stripes you've been healed, the scripture says. What does that mean? That means he took time to die and take all your sins on the cross and to make a way for you for blessing. He made an open heaven for you to reconnect with God in heaven. And we could, if you read the prayer he left, it's pretty cool. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That means your authority come, your will be done, and it's always good. Oh, think what Jesus did. It's always good. Give us this day our daily bread. I kind of like that one, right? It's amazing. Okay, so Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So what was she doing? So she's just sitting at the Lord's feet listening, paying attention. When you come to church like this, just think of it as paying attention. That's what you're doing. You're coming, you're not only honoring the Lord, but you're paying attention. But many of us pay attention and are dutiful to do that, but don't understand that there's something on the flip side. That's always why we're responding to words of knowledge and things and praying for people and everything. Because why wouldn't you pray, seek God? Why wouldn't you look for miracles if he's really here? And if you make room for him to do that, then guess what? You see more miracles. People don't see more miracles, even supernatural healing, these things, because they don't make room for it. They don't have time for it. And it's just a reflection of their own faith, right? But Jesus is so good, and I hope you get that out of the book, if nothing else. It's worth making room for Jesus because he's so good. I came that they might have what? Life and have it kind of good, okay. Abundantly, no, only in one place, you know, only in the spiritual things, not in my finances or not if I need healing, no, none of that, right? I think abundantly is a pretty big word, right? So if the key is making room for Jesus to release that or to be partners with him in it, then that could be pretty good news. And it is good news. Many of us have learned to receive the presence of Jesus during worship at church. And I'm on 1A of your outline if you were following. But what about other times? Could Jesus show up in the middle of a work, in the middle of an appointment, in the middle of a serious discussion, trying to make a sale, in a time when you're in the hospital and you're in pain? Yeah, so worship comes very helpful, handy there. Presence comes very handy. Making room for Jesus there is very, very powerful. And guess what? He really likes to come to those kind of things. We're at your worst when you don't have money, when you're not doing well. You can tell by how he taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. He likes that. Do we just parrot it? No. We just do it hopefully that somebody will listen to us up there. Give us this day our daily bread, your kingdom, your authority, your rule come. No, because he's a good God. And you make room for him to do it, he'll do it. If you don't have time for him to do it, or you just sort of throw something out there and say, oh, yeah, I knew you wouldn't answer anyway or something. Whoa, man. So this whole thing of spending time and giving God room to do things in our life is really, really important. And so many of us have learned to receive the presence of worship during worship at church, but what about all these other times? And so in the story that we read, Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things. The opposite of what Jesus was looking for in this story was Martha's being worried and upset about many things. The Son of God sitting in her living room, for heaven's sake. Well, the Son of God was in here now. Now, he's here. He's big enough to be here. That's what the cross is about. Reconciling us. So he said, where two or three gather together, there I am in their midst. And so we don't want to miss significant moments. So Mary turned aside to see the burning bush, so to speak. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're just so worried. You're so worried. You're worried and upset about many things, but Mary's chosen the better thing. And only one thing's needed, right? Mary's chosen what is better, and it won't be taken for her. So you can have that too, Martha. I'm not rebuking you to say I'm upset with you. I'm saying come join the party. Water's great. Come on in. And the whole issue here is I'm here, and when I'm here, good stuff happens. I don't know how many of us really believe that. Remember that part where he says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I tell you, that's one of the promises of Scripture that we need to grab a hold of really hard. It doesn't mean that we don't work hard sometimes. It doesn't mean that there aren't dips and troubles. But generally, I believe that as we make room for Jesus, the general trajectory of our life is good, abundant. And abundant, why do I want a little money in my pocket and be sick in my body or my children hate me or I have these other things. I don't have a job, whatever it is, right? So it's a big, big thing about this whole thing of making room for Jesus, the abundant God. So Mary, in this particular time, unlike Martha, she turned aside to see this burning bush, so to speak, just like Moses, which you wonder sometimes, why did I ever take a look at that bush? Remember the story? It's burning in the desert. God speaks to him out of it. He should have just kept on going. I bet he thought about that 100 times, right? Because pretty soon now I'm taking this whole bunch of people to God knows where. And every year that went by, he's wondering, why did I look at that bush? But it turned out good. Really good. And he's very happy about that decision right now. I guarantee you that, right? Oh, Moses, right? And so are we. So when Jesus was in that house with Mary and Martha, something was released from heaven. She knew who he was. She understood. I think sometimes people are even in this place. They don't know what's here. They have no idea. I can tell by the way I react to things. So Jesus said he inhabits the praises of his people. Jesus said, where two or three gather together, there I am in their midst. Jesus said, if two of you agree about anything, it'll be done. So in a place like this, you would think this would be a place to respond. That's why we always like to have people come up front. We don't do it just to see, get you to manipulate you and how many people respond. Look, we do it because like we just preached the word of God. We've just been worshiping. And if you need something else from the Lord, it'd be a great time to come because guess who's in the house? Jesus is in the house. So we just need to make room, right? And I don't care. I don't care. I mean, for me, I love to pray for people just as long as they want prayer. And a lot of us are that way. But I find that even people can be sick in their body, or maybe they've prayed for the fifth time and they just don't know if they have the faith to pray for a sixth. But Jesus even talked about that. Keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. I really, really get encouraged through a strange thing. When I see a person that I know that has been sick for a long time or had a condition, and I watch them just come up for prayer, have people pray for them, I really am blessed by that. Because I know they're on their way to their healing, but I also know that that took a lot of faith to do that, especially if it's been a long, long time. Sometimes things delay. Sometimes things don't come right away. And it blesses me every time I see that because I know when you make room for Jesus, you'll never regret it. You never regret it, right? And here we are. Who are we? Well, we're the people that says in the Scripture that where two or three gather together in our name, there I am. We're the I am people. We're the place where he is. Who care to accept that? Now I know, you know your friend over there and his problems and your friend over there and her problems and you know your own problems. You don't feel like very powerful. But when you make room for Jesus, you just let him be powerful and we'll see about the rest. Right? Lord, I just pray for anybody that stopped making room for Jesus because of discouragement or whatever. I just pray they turn aside to see this burning bush named Jesus in our midst. He was in this place with Mary and Martha. And Mary recognized the significance the moment. Guess what he said about her? Mary's chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Interesting. It would not be taken from her. In other words, this is something special. I want everybody to know that what she's doing and how she's responding is special. It's for the future. It's for the how people are going to respond in the future. And so even in Luke 19, we see this funny thing. Jesus is on the way, and he's entering, and all the people, as he comes up the Mount of Olives on Palm Sunday, everybody's screaming and yelling, and the Pharisees, interestingly enough, this tells you a lot about where a person's at. They're getting totally offended that people are saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, worshiping Jesus. And so some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're not being spiritual or reverent enough. How dare they call you Hosanna? Well, they knew the truth. They knew what was really going on. It was the appropriate response. We call this Palm Sunday, and the palms are being laid down. And it's actually the imagery of welcoming a king. You know, they knew somehow what time it was. They made room for him. I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. See, this whole thing, the whole kingdom, everything about Jesus is built on faith. And we step out there, even when we don't feel well, even when things aren't so well. May you made room for Jesus just by coming here. And I hope that you got ready your watch, right? I mean, I'm not talking about how long the service is. We are long, I know. I'm long-winded, I know that. You can remind me if you like, it's okay. I'll get over it. But if Jesus is here, you would think we'd want him to spend more time, not less. If there's a possibility that if someone prayed with me, and I might get an answer because we both agreed in prayer, or maybe in our place, in our setting, maybe someone has a prophetic word for me, and they end up giving me information that there's no way they could have known in a million years, and they give it to me, and I go, oh my goodness, God really is in this place. So we don't do prophetic things and spiritual gifts to go, oh, look at us, look how great we are. We do it because we're all desperate for a word from the Lord. We're all desperate for making room for Jesus. And it turns out he gives these gifts, weird gifts. So I don't know how about you, but I've come to many times to a church service like this, and somebody gives me a word, just says something out of the blue to me. Yeah, and I thought, how in the world? My wife been talking again? What's the deal here, Or has somebody know something? How do they know that? And I'm undone. I like to make room for Jesus. It works really, really, really well. So this Mary, she's sitting there, and she understood exactly the moment, right? And the people along the side of the road who were screaming and yelling out for Jesus, they knew what the moment was. He knew. He said, even if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. And then he talks about what the future is going to be because what? They didn't recognize the time of their visitation. He says, he talks about this destruction that's going to happen and how the enemy is going to come. Because he was the king. He was appearing before all of them. He was telling them the king's here. And he knew that they were going to put him on a cross and reject him. And because of that, there's not going to be one step left on the other. And because you didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you. Because you did not, this is verse 44, did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That's pretty significant, isn't it? And it should be easy to do. It's just that our faith quotient needs to be high. We need to be expecting. One thing that we've tried to build in our church is expectancy, to make room for Jesus. I know our service is a little bit long. I know my sermon's a lot too long. I understand all of this. But I don't know, man. I just thought, for years ago, I realized if I just stop at the time, just throw my heart into Jesus, I found out that I began to see more miracles. I found out a strange thing. I found out that sometimes God wouldn't heal a person on the first prayer. He'd heal them on the third prayer. What a mystery that is. But when you get that, you become invincible in the sense of the way you see Jesus in the kingdom. Sometimes he makes you wait a little bit. Oh, how offensive that is in a hurry-up world in our time. Isn't Jesus good? Jesus would never make me wait. He's not making you wait. He's helping you. He's employing you. He's making you stronger and stronger. Even when things come and resist you, even demonic things, Just keep coming. Don't give up. He even said that. Keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. That's another way that we make room. We just continue. We don't give up until the Lord brings the answer, right? So look at Roman numeral 2. Some have taught Mary and Martha's story as a devotional passage. Wonder if Jesus wants to reveal himself in love and power even during the busyness of the day. So Mary and Martha listening at his feet, yes. But wonder if Jesus wants to reveal himself in love and power even during our busyness, maybe especially right in the middle of our job, right in the middle of our work that we do for a living, right in the middle of some pagan party that we're at, right in the middle of, you wouldn't think Jesus would be a million miles from here, but there he is. That's one of the things that I love about the warehouse. I love it so much. So we feed people 3 times a week. Here, and we do all kinds of other things too. You all know about that. What you might not know is the tent. Did you notice it's a little empty out there? Well, we're getting rid of the tent, which is disappointing. And actually, it's working out really, really well. You know why? Because now they're coming in here. So I figure, you know, he should have seen the first day coming in here. It was really funny. They're coming in here, and they never had looked past the door to look in, see what's going on here. You know, so they're looking and peeking in here, and they came in here, and it was a little rough for a while, right? Because these are people that we feed, and they're from the community, and we're praying for them and healing them, and that's one of the things I just so great about it. You know, we just meet and interface the community in 100 other ways with the warehouse. We make room for Jesus in the warehouse. You can get healed. I know people that are like standing by the tools, you know, looking for some kind of shovel or something and get healed. Or somebody looking for a favorite outfit, and they get ambushed by the Lord in the warehouse. You would not believe how many miracles happen in the warehouse. I saw you in the warehouse. And you ended up being over all of our benevolence ministry. I just had a divine appointment. I saw you. I saw what you were doing, and I just knew there was something unusual about you. And lo and behold, here we go. You've been on this adventure for a while now. All kinds of crazy things happen. And one of the beauties of the warehouse is we have the public meeting us, but also we're meeting the public. And so we put them in for the first time we had our meeting with, you know, where people like 60 or 70 are getting food and stuff, and we're praying for them and preaching to them and everything. It's right over there, and then all the back chairs, that's where they were sitting. And they were really nervous in the beginning because they'd never been in the big church. I always thought to myself, Lord, all the miracles happen out there. I mean, we see so much. Talk about, you make room for the people to come get their food, but also, man, we figured out something else. Okay, before they get their food, we'll also pray for them. We see most of our healing, most supernatural healing miracles out there. But now it's getting closer. Now it's in here. Now we're doing it in here. Coming soon to a theater near you. Even more healing, right? More blessing. I know. I just got this good feeling about this with regard to just having them in the sanctuary. I think maybe some are here today. Maybe you feel more comfortable. That spooky place. You would not believe what an unbeliever thinks sometimes about these spooky places called church, you know? You know, they've never been in one. Or maybe they've been in a Spanish-speaking, but never in an English-speaking one or whatever. They just wonder what happens in there, right? And Lord, I just want to thank you that we're making room for Jesus in a new way now. And I pray, God, we would see more healing, more lovely presence, more people saved, more people fed, and always in Jesus' name. All right, so rumor number 2. This does not hit me till this moment. Making room for Jesus, and we finally brought what was out there in here. And I don't know, for all you prophetically amazing people, I just think there's something to it. I think there's something that happened there. I didn't want to do it because, you know, I just thought it was kind of cool to have the tent and everything, but it's working out really, really well. Plus, that tent's getting us a little bit old, but anyway. All right, Roman numeral 2. Some have taught Mary and Martha's story as a devotional passage. Wonder if Jesus wants to reveal himself in love and power even during the busyness of the day. I've said that. So here's the thing. God's presence can come to you at any time. Sometimes we're just trying to get God in there and be with us so much, but could it be that the problem isn't trying to get him in? He's already in. You just haven't recognized him. Now, we see this in the scripture all the time. We see people not noticing God when he shows up. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's an interesting subject, one of my favorite subjects, you know. People don't recognize, don't know, right? But God's presence can come at any time. And, you know, in that big time, which is a continuous invitation, but also an invitation for the end time, here am I here I am. I stand at the door and knock. The invitation from Revelation 3:20, if anybody opens the door, I'll come in. I wonder how many times God's knocking. We just aren't making the room for him. I tell you what, I wonder sometimes if what we call walking in the Spirit or being led by the Spirit is more an acceptance of invitations that God's giving than it is to try to conjure something up or try to get a good idea or try to be a good person, right? Well, could it be that God's bringing these invitations and knocking all the time? We're just not opening the door. It would be just like him to do that. You know why? Because we think maybe we have to twist his arm to heal the sick or to talk to somebody that doesn't know the Lord. No, he's on the edge of his seat always to do that kind of activity. He's always knocking. He's always trying to get you into the you know why? Not to badger you, because he loves people and he loves the world, for God so loved the world. Why wouldn't he stand at the door and knock? And when you open the door, guess what happens? He's got some information for you. It doesn't go like this. I stand out there, I knock on the door, Jesus opens the door. Hi, Mike, how you doing? Slam. Nice one, I'm glad you opened the door. No, open the door. Hi, Mike. Hey, you know, I've been meaning to talk to you about something. You know, why don't you pray for such and such? Why don't you take that job after all? You know what, why don't you move across the country? Whatever he has to say. That probably wouldn't be, if you're living here, probably wouldn't be you, I'm sure. No. But you never know what God's going to do. So I just want to be an expert door opener and pauser before the Lord, right? That's what we get here with her, you know, with Mary and Martha. It's not too much activity that causes us to miss God. It's the worried and upset about many things. Insecurity of heart. You're worried, upset about many things. And if you make room for Jesus, he'll drive that out of you. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to come meet with a person that knows the Lord and pray with them. You don't have to. You get to. Here's a really interesting scripture. The thief, who would that be? Comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So that's his agenda, trying to get you in that space over and over again. What does Jesus say about that? But I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So this making room for Jesus is a good thing, because he's for you, not against you. Did you know that right there is what I just said? It's the most profound thing I can say. Because we believe it with our brains, but a lot of us don't believe it in our spirit that he's really for you. He wants to bless you. Matter of fact, I think that's a growth item. I think that's called maturity. When you believe that God wants to bless you and love you so much, when you finally cross that hurdle, when you really have settled that issue in your heart, that's what I call maturity. Because then you start acting like Jesus wants to bless you. And then guess what? You got to figure, oh, and Jesus likes it when I bless other people. Oh, so he likes it. Oh, this is a big party here, right? One hindrance to experiencing God's loving presence or hearing his voice in everyday life can be a limited view of God's pursuit of us no matter what we are doing. It's funny. We planted this church. And I was stewing over this, trying to, God, Lord, do you want me to do this or not, you know? And so how many like to drive 1,000 miles over a blistering desert? Just get into the Mojave and just keep on going to Oklahoma City, you know, something like that, or to Albuquerque. And so I got all these kids in the back. They're driving me nuts. I'm in this van, and I'm driving, and I'm driving, and I'm driving. There is not a spiritual bone in my body at that moment. Anybody ever experienced that? Not a spiritual bone in my body. And my boys, God bless them, let's just say that they weren't born girls. They are very active. And even my girl, active. They're all very much alive. And when they were children, they were very much alive. They loved gymnastics. They loved hopping over the seats. They loved driving, whatever they could do. They loved it all, right? Busy, busy. 3 boys and 1 girl. Active, 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 right? So I'm driving, and I'm about Amarillo, Texas. Anybody ever driven across the panhandle of Texas in the searing 100-degree heat? Right? With an air conditioner that's working, but not working that great. So I'm moving along here, and I hear God say something to me, which how in the world? I was so angry. I was so, you know, just, oh what am I doing? This is how many times have I said this is the last trip I'm ever going to do this? I mean, that was like number 28, right? And here I am. And then I'm in the midst of this. in a moment that I never would have ever thought it possible, given my state of mind, I heard God tell me to plant this church. Now, we're supposed to hear God's voice like when you're on the top of your game and da-da-da-da, you know, everything, right? But even if you understand this principle of making room for Jesus, even if you kind of get used to it and you're kind of making room and you're in a bad mood, bad place, whatever, when he knocks, it may be a distant knock, but you still hear it. And I'm thinking, and I remember, I'm hearing God tell me this, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, my first thought was, like, how are you getting through? It's not an audible voice, and chaos is in the back, and the radio is blaring, and I'm thinking, how are you doing this? You know? And I'm hearing him, just clear as a bell, plant the church, plant this church. This is what I've been telling you. What you thought was something else, what I was trying to tell you is, plant the church, and now's the time. That was it. Plant the church, and now's the time. That was it. It's like a TV screen. There it is. And he's gone. I don't know, what the heck? What happened? No, it couldn't have been. No, I could not have heard God, right? I'm going crazy. I thought to myself, I'm crazier than I thought I was, right? But when God speaks like that, especially in the opposite place where you would think he would speak, there's something about it that you can't get away from, right? And it began to nag at me, pull at me, and it was a true word from the Lord because it began to grow in me, stronger and stronger, stronger, right? And so this making room for Jesus, sometimes all we got to do is just make a little bit of space, even if it seems like the most impossible thing. And there's other things that the Lord spoke to me about doing that just seemed totally impossible. And what I've learned to do is I hear that voice, I go, okay, Lord, I'm hearing that. I'm just going to just make some room for that word. I just said something really good there. If you hear something and you're wondering about it, just what I do is I don't have to be 100% positive. I don't have to go that I heard a word and that's no doubt I heard it. You know what I mean? All I found out from the Lord is I just got to make a little space for it to grow. Okay, I'll let that little seed just drop in the ground, that idea, and let's just see what happens. I'm open to it, Lord. I'm open. I'm making room for you. And you might be thinking a whole different thing in a whole different way, and I think this is impossible. Why am I? I can't believe you telling me to do this. You know, or it might be a simple thing, but you don't want to do it. You just flat on. I've had things happen where the Lord speaks to me, and I said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. Sometimes it meant to forgive somebody. Sometimes it's meant to do something, and I just didn't want to do it. Sometimes I told the Lord I didn't want to do it. Or sometimes I told him, not such open terms, I just kind of go ignore it like I didn't hear anything. And he has this way of coming back. Remember what we were talking about? Were we talking? I didn't know if we were really talking. I thought that was just kind of a, you know, I thought I was making that up. No, I wasn't making it up. So can God be that real? Yeah. And it all comes down to, even when you don't want to, and I did, and I have, when I feel like I'm hearing something from the Lord and it's even negative, not what I want to do, I found I still make a little bit of space for it, just in case. Just I give it just a little bit, not a bunch of room. You know, I just give it a little bit of room right here. Just, and then God takes that and it makes it grow. So if you just give a word some space, sometimes you don't have to be all, I just have to, sometimes making room for Jesus, just give that word, giving that idea, giving that scripture, just a little bit of space and let it breathe. Let it breathe. John 5:19-20 says this, and I'm on D there, I'm getting to D, 2D. Jesus gave him this answer, very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now, at that point, I heard somebody speak on that one time, and I about wore myself out trying to hear God's voice. You ever worn yourself out to hear God's voice? So Jesus, he only did what he saw the Father was doing. So I'm trying to figure out, how in the world do I do that? But I didn't read the next line. Here's the next line. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he'll show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed. That loves the Son is the key to hear God's voice. When you feel God's affection, and sometimes I hear it in worship, that's why I hear God's voice a lot in worship, but when you cultivate, which we try to cultivate all the time here, just cultivate in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, persuade you in every way we can, because this is a big deal of our church, that the Father loves you. When you experience the Father loves you, you get revelation. Do you know that? When you have an encounter with the love of God, almost always on the other side of it is revelation. So for all you people that like to be prophetic, one of the keys to hearing God's voice is to receive his affection, to feel his kindness. And you can hear. When you're depressed, discouraged, feel like he's cursed you or whatever, it's the key thing is, for the Father loves the Son, that's the Father God loves, and shows him all he does. So those two are intricately linked. So making room for Jesus is to feel his love. Because when you feel his love, his voice isn't far behind. His voice isn't far behind. So when I teach my class, my Life in the Spirit class, I always spend a couple of weeks just on the Father's love. How that happens, where in the Scripture that is, and how God brings an impartation, grace to you. Like he's giving you a big fat hug for no apparent reason. I've had that happen to me before. He's loving me in the wrong setting, right? He's giving me a big fat hug, telling me, and I'm thinking, why are you telling me that now? This is not church. Ah, because on the other side of it is also God's voice, always. And not always right away, but there's impartation. Wherever there's an impartation like that, communication's not far behind. And a miracle often is not far behind. There's a supernatural sense of love and acceptance. We call the Father's love that God offers. I want to read another passage to help you with that concept. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I almost beat myself to pieces trying to be led by the Spirit when I first got baptized with the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever had that experience? You know, I'm hearing all these guys talk about being led by the Spirit, you know. And when I first came out and I first got that concept, I just about, you know, I'm just trying to, like, God, do I get a snow cone today or do I get a Big Mac, you know? Do I go across that street? Do I dare cross that street or do you want me to go around? Do I use the light? Do I not? I mean, I about drove myself out nuts. Don't do that. Don't do that. First of all, God's voice is peaceable. That's not peaceable. Having control, like a robot, you know, just walking everywhere. Lord, do I go into the warehouse or not? Lord, do I go buy that ring for my wife or not? No, I don't think so. Yeah. Well, thank you, Lord. That was a word from God probably, but at least I gave it the time of day, you know. I don't think that's it. False word. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Those are linked. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves that you live in fear again. So that's the whole thing. When love comes, you're not afraid anymore. You're not enslaved to even being led by the Lord. You're free. You can listen. You can choose whatever. So that you live in fear again. It says fear chokes God out because the opposite of fear is love. And perfect love casts out fear. So when you receive the Spirit, part of it is not that you just speak in tongues and that there's a love thing. We call it the Father's love. Along with it. And so one of the biggest things I do when I teach my class is open that door to the love of God. Because when that happens, you stop living in fear. When you stop living in fear, guess what? You feel like God's your dad. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry. And that word cry is a scream. We scream, Abba, Father. It's a dramatic experience. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. That word testify is the word for martyr, the Greek word. It's a strong testimony. The Spirit himself testifies with the Spirit that we're God's kids. And in that atmosphere, in that place, it's easy to make room for God. It's easy to choose what's better in that kind of atmosphere when you have an encounter with supernatural love. So as good charismatics, we love to talk about, you know, these encounters and faith and healing and everything. But I'm telling you, the key to it all is when you feel loved by God, you begin to do the works of the kingdom. You start really moving in power when you feel God loves you and God loves that person. When you feel compassion for someone, I'll tell you, when I feel enough compassion for someone, I'll do anything to pray for them or help them, right? So it's so important that we don't run out of love ourselves and realize that God wants to do that for us too. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. Remember that scripture? You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. So it's very nice to know that Mary was having this great encounter with the Lord. And the Lord is telling us that she was doing the right thing and trying to honor Jesus. But he was there. It was time to listen. And in church, my goodness, you're here. And it's time to listen and receive. I know you want to be righteous. I know you want to. I mean, a really poor reason for coming to church is if you don't, you might get busted or maybe something bad might happen to you or maybe you might get away. from God or whatever. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Something more. You know what? When I go to church, I feel the love of God on me. I feel the presence of God. In that place, people pray for you. There's a life here. When I worship, I can feel the love of God. That's a really good motive because things that we need aren't far behind. Matthew 11:27. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What a beautiful passage. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you give a heavy burden, it's probably not God. You're probably not making room for Jesus. You're making room for guilt, whatever. Jesus does put a burden on us, but it's a different kind of burden. And even if we mess up, why stay in that burden any longer? God, I did it. I absolutely did it. Sorry about that. The next step is, thank you for forgiving me. And then guess what? Then you're ready to go. If a yoke is easy, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. When you're resting, when the yoke is easy, Jesus said this about himself. You know, I'm really not that hard to get along with. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So it turns out when you make room for Jesus, it's an easy burden, not a heavy burden. It's light. It's light. Matter of fact, I've noticed that some people think, you know, I'm carrying these huge burdens. I'm sorry, brother, for the weight of the ministry that's on you. It must be horrible. I don't know how to respond like that because I kind of like the tension, you know, a little bit. Yeah, well, you know, it's a task, but, you know. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus' yoke is not hard. Oh, there are occasionally decisions I have to make, but all of them are for my good. When you learn that. But here's the part that really gets me. He's gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. That's still true if you read Leviticus or some obscure book, you know, or some book about judgment or whatever, or whether you read John 3:16. Jesus never changed. The Father never changed. He's gentle and humble at heart. He loves his kids. The only reason why he disciplined them is because if he didn't, they would get into a place where they get deeper into the devil and the thief would come and steal more. The only reason why you get disciplined is God doesn't want you wandering off. Because if you wander off into enemy territory, the thief will come and steal, kill, and destroy. And he's not about that, even though things may seem like that. In fact, he said, I came that they might have life, and life abundantly. My yoke is easy, he said, and 11:30, and my burden is light. I mean, that just feels good to say it, doesn't it? Is it really easy? Well, we can start this way. It's a lot easier than carrying the burden of the world because a thief only steals and kills and destroys and makes it look like it's not going to be like that, but that's where it ends up. But also, if you think about it and you start hanging out with God and you believe that, you go, you know what? He really is giving me a light burden. You know, it reminds me of just how we handle our kids, especially when they're young, you know? And as we grow, we don't need that kind of love. We need to grow and we can actually throw off the burdens ourselves and choose what's good, healthy. We can make room for Jesus and we can become his partner. Responding to Jesus when he knocks takes the pressure off of organized quiet times. Did you know that? Whether I'm alone or in a crowd, I can ask in faith for Jesus' presence to come because he promised to be with me always. Remember that scripture, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I'll come in. So, turns out, he knocks more than we think. We didn't think he would care enough for us, or we don't think we're holy enough for him to knock. It's quite the opposite. The only reason why you don't hear him knocking is because you think it's too complicated, or it's too much, or you think, how in the world could he ever get into my business or into this part of what I'm doing? He likes it even more. You think, well, this is business. God does, you know, people even could do the most horrendous things and say, it's just business. With God, it's not business. It's maybe his business, but his business is easier. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're going to find out my way is good. It's easier. It's okay. So making room for Jesus is actually choosing the easy way out, even though it might be hard in the beginning. Jesus Christ took the hard way out. Or did he? He went to the cross, hard. But he resurrected from the dead. And he knew that in the economy of things, the only way to have kids, the only way to have thousands and millions like him, was to go there. So for the joy set before him, he endured it because God's always good. It was always more for more, not less. We make room for Jesus, make room for God. It's always about more, not less, even though it might even be painful in the beginning, but in the end, going to really like it. Going to really like it a lot. So finally, look at Roman numeral 3. Learning to release our problems to Jesus. I tell you what, one of the greatest ways you can release your problems to Jesus is come to church and worship for a while. I never could understand, never had understood. Well, I did understand it. I won't go into that because I'll be negative. Anyway, but for me, like, rejoicing in the Lord is not a problem, right? It's a beautiful place. So here's what Paul says about that, and it has everything to do with making room for Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Always. That is a very big word. Especially if you're driving across the panhandle somewhere and it's 105 degrees and your kids are screaming in the back. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. God speaks and you think, there could be no way you could get through to me right now because I just like to, you know, I just like to let the kids walk for a while. I'm kind of exaggerating that over, and I'm actually over a lot because my kids are bigger now. Although kids can do some stuff when they're older that elicit the same response. Isn't that right, Chanel? Is that right or am I wrong? How many kids you got? How many grandkids? Well, I think that makes you an expert on this kind of thing. I'm glad we're in agreement. All right. Rejoice, Lord, always. Always? I'll say it again, rejoice. He says, you're not going to believe. Guess what? So he's writing to the Philippians, but you know what the background of this is? He was in jail in Philippi, and he was about to be killed or imprisoned for a long time, and he's in jail, and he started worshiping the Lord in Philippi, and guess what? The door flew open, the bounds fell off his arm, and the jailer got saved, and by the time he was done, they were begging him to leave. This is the same Philippians he's writing to, and he says, rejoice, Lord, always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Evidently, that works. Evidently, there's some warfare involved there, something in that case, and I found it also to rejoicing in the middle of a really hard place is very powerful. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord's near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. How in the world do I thank God for certain things? But it's what you're doing. You're saying, you know what? I know I'm on the winning side. It doesn't look too good right now. But you know, I got this amazing pitcher. His name's Jesus. And the next inning, he's going to shut you down for all you baseball fans. Or I got this other guy, you know, his name's Jesus. And you know what? He's going to get up and he's going to hit a grand slam and I'm going to be fine, right? But in prayer, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In every situation. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you get the hang of that, it works really good. And here's one of the first steps to do that. So maybe you can't quite get to the request yet, but get to this. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. That's what he was doing in jail in Philippi. And you know the story. The jail cell flew open. The guy says, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? And he led his whole household of the Lord, and the leaders of the Philippi were begging him to leave. He just worshiped. He turned the whole thing on its head. So when he's saying this, rejoice in the Lord always, he's not just saying it like theoretically. He's not saying it just has a little power. He realizes it's all the difference in the world. And boy, he went through a lot of stuff. And then he says, you know what? You remember what I was doing in jail when I was doing that and they were beating me and all that? Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of shalom, peace, will be with you. What a great promise. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's so wonderful. I love these promises. There's a peace that transcends all understanding. And that's in verses 6 and 7. And so that means that maybe you're in a situation and you're thinking, how in the world am I getting this peace? But it's available. You just make room for Jesus. Now, like, when you make room for Jesus and you're not feeling so great and everything's a mess, how do you know that when you first begin down that road, it doesn't feel so great? You ever done that for like 1 minute? I don't feel any better. I think I'm going to go back to complaining. But just give it a shot. Give it a shot. Turn the tables on the thing. Enter in a space of worship. Positive. Just go to that place for a while. You have nothing to lose, especially if it's really, really bad. Because if it's really, really bad, it's not going to move very fast anyway. So you have nothing to lose. Just turn yourself in worship. You know, and you got another thing. God really likes this kind of behavior. You know, I learned something about this. If you do the things that God likes, you do better. So Jesus really likes. Can you imagine? He's seeing you in this trial, like Paul was in jail, and you're listening and you're worshiping and you're thinking, you know what you're really doing to the devil and demons? Let's just get real personal here. When you worship in the face of demons, you're telling them, you're gonna lose. And when you knew the name of Jesus, they go, oh no, he's worshiping in the name of Jesus again. I'm in big trouble. They may know it before you know it, right? But this is the way the world's put together. This is the real world. The real world. I know it's hard sometimes to worship in pain, trouble, but it's actually the very best thing you could possibly do. And there's a great book that was written years ago called Prison to Praise. And I think it was Merlin Carruthers or something like that. I read that book over and over again. It got me through lots of trouble. Rest and reward are found in expressing love to Jesus. Mary did that before Jesus was crucified. Jesus carried the aroma of Mary's extravagant gift of love and worship, I believe, all the way to the cross. You know, just the kindness, he knew he was going to a really dark place. And just the kindness just of her heart toward him to just serve him and bless him. And look what Jesus said to Martha. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial, that perfume that's anointing me right now. Way back in the millennia, thousands of years before this happened, there was going to be a woman named Mary who's going to pour this anointing oil on Jesus, not knowing, just in pure reverence and worship for him, not knowing that it was the very thing that was preparing him for his death. And Jesus knew it. It was intended that she save this perfume. It was intended. From eons gone past, it was intended. What's intended for you? From eons past, to respond and worship and praise in a difficult situation. Think about it. It's staggering, isn't it? You'll always have the poor, among you said, but you're not always going to have me. Even in our situation, there's always going to be trouble, but there's always Jesus. He was talking in the present tense. You're not going to have me. I'm going to be going to the cross. But she got him anyway, not long later. It was a reunion, right? And that's the same way it is with us, with God. When you serve the weakest ones, you serve Jesus. So this is another way of making room for Jesus. We don't have to have a mercy warehouse, guys. It's the best thing we could probably ever have done for the church, for the community, and for us personally. When you volunteer, when you do work there, when you bring stuff for it, when we bless the community, you know what? You serve Jesus, and you also serve yourself. You can't outgive God. Just when you think you've done it, the ultimate sacrifice, God always does more and has done more and always is on your side. When the righteous will answer him, this is talking about a difficult time, an encounter with God, when the Son of Man, it says, comes in his glory. Listen to this. It says here in verse 35, of Matthew 25. You know, come, the kingdom that's prepared for you since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, I don't know. When did I do that? When did I see you hungry and feed you? When did I see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did I see a stranger invite you in or needed clothes and clothe you? When did we see the sick or in prison? Go in prison and go visit you. When do we see you there, sick or in prison? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me. Wow. Making room for Jesus. Making room for Jesus. Every time we help a weak person, every time we talk to someone that needs a brother or a sister, every time we pray for someone, every time we give something to somebody, every time we give a good gift, we're making room for Jesus, and it's amazing. We'll see how profound in the later life. But for now, I tell you what, even from what I've experienced now in this life, it's amazing, the reward. Making room for Jesus is the best thing you could possibly do. Even if it costs you something. Give and it shall be given. It's a law. It comes now and in the future. And I just want to end with this scripture in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 5 to 11. Is this the kind of fasting I've chosen? So, you know, in the Old Testament, and we knew, but in the Old Testament, they had made a big deal of fasting. It was a time to try to end, you know, a conflict or a problem, or it was like the heavy artillery when you got into a bad space. But he's speaking to them out of Isaiah 58. You know, you're fasting, and then he says, verse 4, I'll go up above. Your fasting is in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast like that and expect your voice to be heard on high. Isn't this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Only for to make you, you know, just humble and look sad because you're suffering so much? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed or for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? But listen, there's this other side to this. Because when we fast and pray, when we sacrifice, isn't this kind of fasting I've chosen? This is what happens when you do that. Isn't it to loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? Isn't this the kind of thing I'm after? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? When you do that, you made room for Jesus. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, provide the poor wanderer with shelter? We don't have to do that. We get to do that because I'm doing it to Jesus. When you see the naked to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn. This kind of lifestyle, I'm convinced even in this life, but surely in the life to come, then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call answered prayer. I don't have to make room for Jesus. I don't have to give. I don't have to sacrifice. I don't have to love each other. I get to. I'll call and the Lord will answer. I'll cry for help, and he'll say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. You made room for me. I'm making room for you. And your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you. How often? Always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never, never fail. Oh, my. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. You'll raise up the old foundations. You'll start making a difference in your community. You'll start bringing Jesus into the place. And you know what? I'm going to bring myself to you. And you'll never regret making room for me, making room for Jesus. Amen? Let's all stand. You know, there's another way we make room for Jesus. When you guys were just standing there worshiping, you know, you're making room for Jesus. How many ever drug in here and thought, you know, I don't have a spiritual bone in my body. I can't sing. I don't want to sing. I just want to sit here. Anybody ever had that happen? Oh, certainly none of you, but just in case, right? But you know what I found with regard to worship? You know, worship's not the warm-up. Worship's like making room, right? So that's why I love to do that. I'm making room for Jesus to change my attitude, change my heart. But there's more. In the house of God, when we do this time, we invest. Because God, as we've ministered to Him and we pray for other people, heals us in a place like this. If you ever needed to be healed, delivered, saved, something from the Lord, this would be the place to do it. Especially if it's a place where people serve and pray for one another. Today, I'm going to pray for you. Tomorrow, somebody's going to pray for me. But the central ingredient of all of that is, if it's religious exercise, who cares? But if it means that I will serve, I will step out in faith, I'll make room for the Lord to do something in your life, and I'm going to take the time to do that, then guess what? It also comes back on your own head. But when we just have a little time for prayer, this is another way of saying, you know, I've been having a lot of problems. I think I'll just make some room for God to do this. And when a person on our team or person up in the church responds and says, you know, I think I'll pray for that person. I think I'll make room for Jesus. In that little humble moment where the person coming up doesn't feel certain of themselves and the person doing it doesn't feel confident at all, God loves that weakness. And in that weakness of space is where glory lives, where God lives. I mean, I could have a flashy tie, whole big band, the music going, everything. But there's nothing like the humble prayer of a humble saint serving somebody else who's been humbled by life. So what happens here in the front isn't just because we have a tradition. It's because actually this little exchange of week ministering to week is where the glory is. So Lord, I'm going to ask today for anyone who came in here thinking, when am I going to get well? How long, Lord? How long? When is this going to change? When are my children coming back to the Lord? Hi, David. That was prophetic. I got to cover this somehow. We found a long time ago, like if you get embarrassed, just say something about it being prophetic and you're okay. So I was talking about kids, wasn't I? My kid just called me. David, by the way. So Lord, I pray today to be glory in this altar today. And be altar space. What sanctifies it is you step out in faith and say, Lord, I need something. Guess what? And somebody else says, you know, I think I'll pray for that person. Guess what happened? We made room for God. And he comes. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, she would just cause anyone that's sick in their body or is facing a difficult thing, just to give Jesus some room and space to deal with that problem. And Lord, I want to ask you also that someone would just take the time out, our ministry team, to also pray for a person that's in that space. Take their time and bless them. So if you need a blessing from the Lord, it's not going to take a long time. Maybe it's only 5 minutes, whatever it is. From the Lord, why don't you come to the front right now? And we'll have some people and we'll just pray for you. We're going to ask God to bring in our weakness the glory down.